There is one last chance to double your impact when you donate during this May fundraiser. It's Match Monday, and the Investors Challenge Fund is matching donations, today only, up to $25,000. We need to put every dollar of these funds to use for our newsroom in the months ahead so we can keep you and people across the country informed. Give right now and generously at marketplace.org/donate.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
A contest to help Black businesses gets blocked in court. I'm David Brancaccio. A federal appeals court has blocked a grants competition from awarding money to businesses that are majority owned by Black women. That program, run by an Atlanta venture capital firm called the Fearless Fund, is now on hold while a lawsuit by the American Alliance for Equal Rights, run by a conservative activist, moves forward. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes reports.
Lawsuits like the one happening in Atlanta could have a chilling effect on diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts across the business world.
I think that they're designed to cause people to withdraw.
Stacey Hawkins is a law professor at Rutgers. She's also run corporate diversity programs and says employers might roll back racial diversity initiatives, even if they're perfectly legal.
Because they fear now that there is going to be some consequence associated with continuing that conduct.
There could also be fallout for Black entrepreneurs who are seeking funding. Sarah Kunst runs the venture capital firm Clio Capital.
We're sort of kind of reactionary herd animals.
Kunst says, yeah, some investors could press pause on any DEI efforts they worry could get them sued. But she says it's a chance for all venture capitalists to review their investing practices and make sure they are funding every entrepreneur with a good idea, including women of color.
If you're an investor who historically has not paid enough attention to Black women as a demographic to back, you know, you're leaving money on the table, and that means you're not doing your job very well.
According to Crunchbase, in the first half of 2021, Black women received less than 0.4% of all venture funding in the U.S. That's despite being about 8% of the total population. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
Stock price of the struggling China-based property giant Evergrande fell sharply on the stock's return to the Hong Kong market today. Stephen McDonnell with the BBC reports from Beijing.
When news came last week that Evergrande's chair, Hui Gaoyan, had been detained for questioning, accused of unspecified crimes, trading in the company's shares was suspended. It resumed today, resulting in volatile changes in price. The giant developer was once a symbol of China's booming economy, but has since come to represent all that's gone wrong with the country's heavily indebted property sector, which makes up a quarter of its overall GDP. Later this month, a hearing will commence considering whether Evergrande should be forced into liquidation. Up until now, the Chinese government has seemed reluctant to bail it out.
Evergrande's stock closed down 3.4% today.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Hey, everyone. It's Rima Khreis, host of This is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, Well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
The first of two trials for the founder of the cryptocurrency exchange FTX begins today here in New York. Sam Bankman-Fried once led high-flying FTX into bankruptcy protection last November. Prosecutors allege fraud. For a preview, let's turn to Sujit Raman, the chief legal officer at TRM Labs, an analytics company that uses tech to help organizations spot crypto and other financial crimes. Mr. Raman, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, David. Great to be here.
And lots of procedural stuff expected when a trial gets underway. I mean, what'll you be looking for early on?
I think opening statements are likely to begin on Wednesday, and that's when the trial really begins. We'll see if Mr. Bankman-Fried's lawyers choose to put on an opening statement of their own. I anticipate they'll probably stand up and make some kind of argument about how Mr. Bankman-Fried didn't really know what was going on. He was inexperienced. He was in over his head. And that while there might have been a lot of mistakes at FTX, there wasn't any criminal intent.
Do you think the government will try to create the case that this was a Ponzi scheme?
Well, if the allegations are true, David, then it was certainly a massive embezzlement. You know, the way that FTX made money was by taking a fee, and that's a perfectly legitimate business model. What's not legitimate is taking the funds that customers custodied on the platform and then using that money for other purposes, like, hypothetically, buying a luxury penthouse apartment in the Bahamas. That's what the government's alleging happened here. And if that is, in fact, what happened, then those are very serious crimes.
And if the trial bears this out, then it's not really specifically about this being a cryptocurrency company or that it's about digital assets. I mean, that's embezzlement can hit any kind of business.
That's absolutely right. Fraud is fraud is fraud. And if that's ultimately what happened here, I wouldn't necessarily draw any connections to the crypto industry directly. That said, it's obvious that once Mr. Bankman-Fried's activities came to light, that did bring a lot more scrutiny to the digital asset sector. And I suspect that that continued scrutiny will continue in the weeks and months going forward.
Now, early on, around the time of the FTX bankruptcy, there were vivid accusations that FTX was run in a slapdash way. Commentators after the bankruptcy suggested that this would now be the end of the Wild West phase of crypto. I mean, part of what you do is monitor this stuff. Are you seeing changes already?
Well, what we are seeing is an increased emphasis on compliance. So I wouldn't link that directly to the Sam Bankman-Fried case, but it is part of a broader recognition that digital assets are here, they're here to stay, and governments around the world want to create regulatory structures for that activity. I think we do have a greater awareness of compliance in the digital assets industry, and I think spectacular flameouts like the FTX case only help push that idea forward.
Sujit Raman is Chief Legal Officer at TRM Labs. Thank you very much.
Thanks, David.
And let's do one more number, 70%. The data firm RepRisk finds a 70% increase in 2023 of what's called greenwashing by banks and other financial services firms worldwide. That's when companies make misleading claims to the public and investors about their supposed sustainability awesomeness. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report, and we are from APM, American Public Media.
Hey, everyone. It's Rima Jerez, host of This is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.